Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you today. God's blessings as we spend some time at our Lord's feet today. I want to take you back to November 18th, 1985. Washington Redskins versus the New York Giants. Monday Night Football. It's back in the day when Joe Theismann was one of the best quarterbacks for the NFL. Well, during this game, about 5 minutes into the second quarter, Joe Theismann approached his offensive line and looked over the defense. He then took the snap from center and turned and handed the ball off to his running back, who plunged for the line and looked like he wasn't going to make it. But wait, it was a trick play, the flea flicker, as the running back then turned and pitched the ball back to Joe, who then faded back for a pass. Joe never saw Lawrence Taylor, defensive end for the Giants, or defensive end, rushing him from his blind side. The all-pro defensive end not only tackled Joe, but threw him to the ground. And what we saw next on the television screen, the images were horrific. Because as Joe went to the ground, another player fell on his right leg, causing a compound fracture to both bones in his right leg. The legendary quarterback never played football again. There's no denying that the quarterback is the most well-paid player in the National Football League. But would you like to take a guess at which player position is the second most well-paid? For those football teams that have a right-handed quarterback, it is the offensive left tackle. Because whenever the quarterback drops back for a pass, it is the job of the left tackle to protect the quarterback's blind side. In 2006, Michael Lewis published a book entitled The Blind Side, Evolution of a Game. And you might be familiar with this book through the film version, which came out in 2009, starring Sandra Bullock and Tim McGraw under the simple title The Blind Side. Well, this is more than just a movie about football. This is the story about a young man by the name of Michael Orr who grew up in the slums of Memphis, Tennessee. For the first 17 years of Michael's life, he went from foster home to foster home to foster home to foster home. Until one day, the father of one of Michael's friends encouraged the local high school football coach to give Michael a chance on the team. Well, Big Mike, as he came to be known because of his athleticism as well as his size, became an unlikely student at a private academy known as Briarcliff Christian School. A prominent couple in that community, Sean and Leanne Tuohy, their children happened to go to Briarcliff School. And on one particular rainy night, as they were driving home, they happened to come upon Michael going in the opposite direction, heading back to the school gym where he had been spending the nights. Well, as soon as Leanne Tuohy became aware of Michael's circumstances, she took charge. Not only did the Tuohys take Michael into their home, they made him a part of their family, even going so far as to adopt him as one of their own. In one of the more poignant scenes of the movie, Michael's wanting to purchase some clothes back in his old neighborhood. And so Leanne's walking with him through this rough part of town. And you can see that she's a little bit more than nervous. In fact, a little terrified about where she finds herself. And as they begin to cross the street, Michael just gently assures her and says, "Don't worry, I've got your back." And by the time you come to the end of the film, you realize the story's not about football. The story really is about how the Tuohys had Michael's back and how he, in turn, had their back. I couldn't help, as I began to look at John 15, our text for today, I couldn't help but think of that story. Because here in our text, the context of this moment is Maundy Thursday, the night in which Jesus was betrayed. In the upper room, Jesus is celebrating the Last Supper with his disciples. In just a few hours, Jesus would be betrayed, denied, and then deserted by his friends. And then following a mock trial, he would be crucified, dead, and buried. Knowing all of these things were about to take place, Jesus turns to his disciples and he says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends." And no sooner had Jesus said this than he left the upper room, and he did just that. He laid down his life on the cross for his friends, for you, for me, for all. Earlier in John's gospel account, Jesus said the same thing in a different way, words familiar to us, known as the gospel in a nutshell, when Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." My friends, the simple truth that I would have each and every one of us take home with us today is this. The God of all creation has our back. He's watching our blind side. And when it comes to our sinful human nature, we have a significant blind side. But through Jesus' death and resurrection, and now the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the Lord God has done for us and continues to do for us what you and I could never, ever do for ourselves. And that's what the Bible calls grace. God's free and generous gift that we can never merit, earn, or deserve. God bestows his gift of grace on us through the working of the Holy Spirit, who works faith in our hearts to believe in this good and gracious God. Which brings Jesus to not only be able to say to his disciples that night, but even to you and me to this very day, "I no longer call you servants. I have called you friends." And I don't know about you, but it is an overwhelming thought to me to think that the God of all creation has my back, and he has yours as well. And in that context of God's relationship with you and me, you and I are now called to have one another's back. Jesus' simple command is to love each other as I have loved you. When you really think about it from God's perspective, we are family with one another. And as such, we are responsible for one another, especially when it comes to our spiritual well-being. This is a lesson that Big Mike was struggling to understand at football practice. Michael Orr simply could not understand the concept of protecting the quarterback. So one day, right in the middle of practice, Leanne Tui walked on the field and interrupted the offensive huddle. Take a look at your screen.
What's with the camera?
Michael always does better when he sees what he's supposed to be doing.
Holding. Left tackle.
Michael, come on.
Or? Come here, son. Will you look at me, son? If you grab him outside here like this or that horse collar thing you just did, you're going to get flagged. You hear me? All right, let's go.
Baby, wash my stuff, all right?
Okay.
Well, at least he'll look good coming off the bus. They'll be terrified till they realize he's a marshmallow. Looks like Tarzan plays like Jane.
Give me a minute, Bert.
We're in the middle of practice, Leanne.
You can thank me later. Michael, do you remember when we first met and we went to that horrible part of town to buy you those dreadful clothes? And I was a little bit scared and you told me not to worry about it because you had my back. Do you remember that?
Yes, ma'am.
And if anyone tried to get to me, you would have stopped them, right? And when you and SJ were in that car wreck, what did you do to the airbag?
Stopped it.
You stopped it. You stopped it. This team is your family, Michael. You have to protect them from those guys, okay? Listen. Okay. Tony here is your quarterback, all right? You protect his blind side. When you look at him, you think of me, how you have my back, how you have his, okay? All right, Tony, go back. All right. Oompa Loompa here is your tailback. When you look at him, you think of SJ and how you've never let anyone or anything hurt him. You understand me? All right, go back. Got it?
What about Collins and Mr. Tui?
Fine, they can be on the team too. Are you gonna protect the family, Michael?
Yes, ma'am.
Good boy. And go have some fun. Yelling at him doesn't work, Bert. Doesn't trust men. In his experience, they pretend to care about you till they disappear.
Wanna run a play?
SJ, you're gonna wanna get this. Okay.
You know, oftentimes, Christian love is portrayed as something that is mushy, gushy, sentimental, touchy-feely. But you know, there are times when Christian love is tough. It's stern. It's sacrificial. Love is not truly love until it is costly love. Because you know, at times, loving others is difficult. There are moments when we are forced out of our comfort zones. There are times when it is not convenient, when it is pricey, when it is challenging, when it is time-consuming. But it is the most fulfilling thing that we will ever do with our lives. Each of us would do well today to ponder, first of all, two questions. First of all, who has our back? And secondly, whose back do we have? Because we are called by our Lord Jesus Christ to lay down our lives for others. Now, on rare occasions, that may very well mean literally. However, more typically, we are called to lay down our lives in ordinary, everyday sorts of ways, to live for others rather than living for ourselves. For those of us here who are married, our primary earthly relationship is with our spouse. And this is where Christian love and charity begins in the home. Marriage is the primary place where we begin to learn that we are about loving the other rather than ourselves. Marriage forces a person to think in terms of we rather than me. And the healthiest marriages are those where each is thinking first about the needs of the other. I love the way the Apostle Paul puts it in Romans 12. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. And then especially this part. Outdo one another in showing honor. For those of us who are parents, a second arena in which we learn to lay down our lives is with our children. There is no denying that parenthood can be both fulfilling and depleting, exhilarating and exasperating, rewarding and punishing. But in our absolutely best moments as mom and as dad, we get a glimpse of how our Heavenly Father loves each of us. And I think you would agree, it should not take a Mother's Day for us to be reminded and to be appreciative of all those times when our moms had our backs. Amen? Thanks, Mom. Thanks, moms, for watching our backs. But the time will come even for Christian children where they may have to lay down their lives for their parents. Honor your father and mother is taking on all new terms of meaning nowadays as children deal with the meaning of having aging parents in their lives. We are called to lay down our lives for the ones who gave life to us. And we're also called to lay down our lives for our friends. There's many definitions of friendship, but the one I appreciate a lot is a friend walks in when the world walks out. Friends stand beside one another through good times and bad. And it is especially in the bad times that the true nature of friendship is both tested and revealed. In the book of Proverbs, we read, "There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Also, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And the best way for you and me to gain those kind of friends in our lives is by laying down our lives for others. Many of us here perhaps can remember growing up with the saying, if you want a friend, be a friend. And then there's all those other people out there that we encounter in our life, people we get along with, even people we don't get along with. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. The teacher of the law who heard Jesus say those words that particular occasion asked, and who is my neighbor? And in response, Jesus told the beloved parable of the Good Samaritan. And what Jesus teaches in that parable is that Christian love is not a matter of affinity, convenience, or affordability. At times, it forces us to step outside of the envelope, to go beyond our comfort zone. It is sacrificial. It is costly. But my friends, I want you to see this day that there is a blessing that comes whenever we step outside those comfort zones and we demonstrate that sacrificial love. In one word, the blessing that comes is relationship. There's another poignant scene in the movie The Blind Side where Sean Toohey says to Michael, we're wondering if you'd like to become part of this family. To which young Michael simply responded and said, I kind of thought that I already was. My friends, relationship. That is what Jesus' sacrificial love has secured for you and me between us and God in heaven. And that is what sacrificial love will also secure between each of us as well as with others around us. Through the combined efforts of family, staff, and friends, Michael Toohey, not only graduated from Briarcliff Christian School, but he went on to attend the Toohey's alma mater of Ole Miss, where he continued to play football. In 2009, not only did he graduate from college, but he also entered into the NFL draft. And on July 30th, 2009, Michael signed a 5-year contract with the Baltimore Ravens and now wears the number 74. In his rookie season, Michael played every single game, whether as left tackle or as the right tackle. And they went on in their first year, his first year, to go into the postseason as well. And in his first postseason game on January 10th, 2010, Michael did not allow a single sack against his quarterback as the Baltimore Ravens went on to beat the New England Patriots 33-14. And to this day, Michael continues to protect his quarterback's blind side. Again, my friends, you and I, when it comes to our sinful human nature, we have a huge blind side. But look at that cross, because God's got our backs. And through Jesus' death and resurrection, we now have a restored and redeemed relationship with the God of all creation. And that good and gracious God now calls you and me to look out for one another, especially for our spiritual well-being. To where it could be said of us as we look around this room. And I encourage you, step outside your comfort zone. Look around this room, even you can look behind you. To where we can say to one another, I've got your back. And where you in response can say, I've got your back. To where it could be said of us as a congregation, we've got one another's backs. Because thanks be to Almighty God, we are family. And we gotta protect the family. Amen. Amen.